Accession number 30133, reel 5.
Okay, that's recording. This is Mr. Mason, reel number 5.
In between the Brazen Norton, I was posted to Hendon.
Missed that one out, sorry, yes. Well, what were you doing at Hendon?
In the office, doing paperwork.
So the Bryce Norton one was the of the two. It was much more exciting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Then I got last posting to Bryce Norton. I was in SCAF then, doing all paperwork.
Could you explain again what's SCAF?
It's supply accounting and it's all about the demanding equipment and it's just paperwork. Desk job.
Did you mind that or did you think by this time, oh, that's enough?
Well, I left from Hendon, which I was doing paperwork, and I came here and I was doing the same thing, so the higher you get the arm, sort of less well, you have arm responsibility, but the easier the job, get the airman to do the work, just supervise all that.
And what did it feel like as you were running down towards the end of your service? Was it sort of a relief after all those years, or?
Yes, I suppose it was, because they used to have a lot of exercises, and the siren would go, and you'd have to go across to the station. In fact, after I left the Air Force, I was working at Chick Sands in Bedfordshire, and someone rang my wife and said, "Oh, is the flight sergeant coming in to collect the arms?" I was a civilian then, because they hadn't changed their records. We used to get a lot of exercises where you have to go in and spend days, nights, they couldn't come in. So I got really fed up with that in the end.
So as a civilian, what were you actually doing? Because it says station warden. Station warden. What were you actually doing?
Well, in quarters, we call, we say march in and out, because we do a check. We go down there and we check anything damage or such. We charge the occupants for this.
So this is at the end of tenancy, for want of a better word.
Yes, all right, when they're posted to a different station. Mm-hmm. This is what I do.
So you are going around inspecting premises to make sure they clean the ovens.
Well, that's right.
Check the light bulbs work, things like
or that. Or if the mattress was stained or anything like that. Oh, yeah.
What was the word that? Were there any particular ones you can talk about? Were there any really bad situations, or was everybody pretty good?
Well, the senior people, they were all right, because they are clean, But the juniors, they had some problems with the junior, especially those that were discharged from the service and they're still in quarters. We call them irregular. And some of the things is really awful, especially if they have animals in the house.
So it's just cleanliness, rather than
Well, there's one chap who, at the dining table, we noticed that he'd cut off the edge of the four corners. So we said, you'll have to pay for that. He said, "Oh, my little son cut one corner off, so I cut off the others." So he had to pay for the table. Yes, we did have some really bad cases. Well, I'm both officers and you know, not just the airmen. Plus, I did the officers as well. I remember one group captain. I went to march him out at Saunton Morley. Yeah, Saunton Morley. And they have these nice mahogany furniture, like the chair there. Mm-hmm. And quite a few of these items was missing. So he said, you know, well, we've got to charge you for this. So he said, oh, I want a service man. I was a civilian park warden then. I want a serviceman to do this. And he started getting irated. So I said, all right, can you sign for this? In the end, he said, oh, it's the removal people. I think they took all this furniture, you know. And in the end, he even offered to give me a lift. You know, he just tried it on, you know. He thought I would just give in and, he's a group captain, so he's a big nice.
Did you ever come across any where they were absolutely perfect? You know, white gloves on and there was still no dirt, nothing?
Oh, yes, yes. First of all, when you go in and you find the mattress turned upside down, you know straight away that it's stained. But they try to cover it, you know. So once I noticed that, I just get them to turn it over again.
So that's one of the indicators that you're looking for. Is there anything else that you always look for?
Well, the cooker, because that's used to be £15 for cleaning that. Because we get a cleaning person to clean up after them before we can hand it over to the next tenant. And they, of course, they used to have crockery and glass and things like that, but they get an allowance for breakages. But if they go over the allowance, then we have to charge them for the overspill.
So a sort of fair wear and tear is allowed, not throwing plates at each other.
No. Because they get parts. We used to get parts, you know, everything you used to get in the service. You just march in with your clothes and everything was there for you. But they stopped that now, and you have to provide your own thing. I mean, before you used to take it down to the stores and get it exchanged for new set of things. Even the laundry, they used to wash the sheets for them, but now you got to do it yourself. So different now, yeah. It's all computer. You can't shout at the airman either.
They still have to have a haircut.
Well, not like people like the army. You see, they let their hair grow, because once you're got this haircut, they'll know that you're a service person, like in Ireland. So they have allowances for that. But when you are on normal station, you still have your haircut. And at one stage, you used to pay for your uniform, and if you at the end of the year, if your uniform was okay, you got that credited to you, the money. But they soon stopped that. Your clothing allowance. Because people used to look after the uniform, man. Not like, no way, you know, grease and everything, because they just take it and get it changed. Get your shoes repaired and all that.
So it sort of swings and roundabouts. Some things are easier and some things are...
Well, I mean, it's too easy these days. I mean, you haven't got the discipline that you used to be. Because if you shout at somebody or you tick him off, he gets it right to his MP or something like that.
So there's one thing I could ask you then, seeing as we are sort of drawing to the end here, is a very general question, and it probably affects standards. It's to do with leadership. It's really what did you consider to be good leadership?
Well, we go on courses for this. Yeah. Well, you set a good example. Yeah. If you lose respect, if you have not any discipline at all, if you sort of go around boozing with them, with the lower ranks, then they lose respect for you. Again, you should know how far you can go with them, because you don't want to be too strict. You want to give them some leeway. I mean, you can, be social with them, but up to a certain point. I mean, with me, they never used to call me George or anything like that. It's always Flight. But then you get some of the NCOs, especially the younger technicians, come in and they call them Harry and things like that. And they'll do that in front of an officer, you see. I mean, I used to go drinking with officers, but I mean, I wouldn't start calling them John in front of them. That's how it is. But you do go on NCO course.
Did you ever come across any really striking examples of leadership?
In what way do you mean?
I'm just thinking about maybe any particular officers that you come across.
Yes, well, I had an officer here, Harry Bird, and I knew him in Aden as a corporal. He was one of my corporals out there, and he got commission, and he was my boss here. And we had a Christmas do, and he organized this Christmas do at the football club. And after the party the next day, we went down there to clean up the place, and all the beer that was left, we had drinking that. And he sent to the officers' mess, got a breakfast for all of us up there, and we stayed there and drank all the beer. But I mean, although he did all that, but I mean, the next day when we're in the office, it is Flight Sergeant, Flight Lieutenant, and I think Harry was quite a good leader, although he was sociable with people, but he was a good example.
So it's commanding respect. And as you said at the beginning, sort of leading by example.
Yes.
I'm just thinking how long you've been out the forces now. Over 20 years, isn't it? So I can ask, has it had an effect on your civilian life afterwards? Because you had a career afterwards as well, haven't you?
Yes. Station warden, and then when I got to 65, they asked me to stop on for another year, so I didn't leave until 66.
And then you've been a town councillor, deputy mayor, district councillor, and and you're a cricket umpire as well.
Yes.
There's probably other things that I forgot.
Yeah, there my truth is in that cupboard there. The one night wall.
That's a lot. So do you think being in the force has sort of helped this at all? Because
oh yes, because
sports
and the services, you have every opportunity there is, and you would be playing cricket with an officer, and then you call him Harry, but off the sports field is back to our normal rank as well.
I can see certain links coming through, exactly what you said about leadership and respect and so forth.
Yes.
Coming through into, well, your leadership afterwards as well.
Mm.
Being an umpire.
Yes. Mm.
And again, in the council work as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the leading by example.
In fact, I'm on licensing as well as planning and economic. I mean, yesterday I had licensing, and there's a chap there, he got caught drinking or attempting to drive his car, and he got fined and banned for 24 hours. So it came up that we had to decide to withdraw his license. And if someone comes with 6 points or more, then it's left to us now to decide whether he should retain his license. Anything over 6 points, and then you. A favorite trick of these taxi owners is if someone is caught speeding and he has, say, 3 points on his license, and there's somebody who hasn't got any on their license, then they'll say, well, you take the blame for this. You have to get to know all these dodges, I had a woman, and in the end she apologized for it when she came back, because we put her back 6 months, and then when she came back she said she wouldn't do anything like that again.
But it comes through very strongly. You've sort of got a lifetime of service to the community.
Oh yeah, yes. Mm.
Mm. Well, I should ask you actually if there's anything else that you wanted to say at the end of the interview. Any topics that I perhaps haven't mentioned or covered? You're thinking to yourself, why didn't she ask me that?
Can't think of anything. Council work I find, quite interesting, especially planning, because you get all these people writing to you about planning application, or if you go on a site visit, then you can't say, well, we'll do so and so. You're not allowed to say anything, not until they go before the board. And you get people phone up about quarters. The last one I can remember, his son, he phoned me about his son not being able to get into quarters when there's a lot of empty houses going. Well, it turned out that this chap had gone down to the housing. They gave him a form to fill in, and he hadn't bothered to fill it in. But he got his father to get on to me about it. Of course, he sent me a fax, but I said, write me a letter about it. Well, he didn't. Anyway, when he phoned up again, I got went down to the housing department, and they told me about this, and it was sorted there and then, because all they wanted him to do was to fill the form in that they gave him. But I got fed up with the town council, because that was every Tuesday night. At night. Now the district council, you have it in the afternoon, and but I mean, you want to stop at home in the night, in the Tuesday, not to be at a council. So I, at the end of the term, I said I wouldn't stand. You know.
You're not considering retirement at all?
Well, I was elected last year, and after that I'll do this 4 years, and that's it. In this ward there's two of us, chap who lives over there, and he was the chairman of the district council, and the St. George's dinner, he'd just given a speech and sat down, and he had a massive heart attack, and he was due for election on the last election day, so they had to postpone it now until the 21st of this month, because it's for this ward. He was a town councillor, a district councillor, and a county councillor, and they're going to have an election on the 21st. But he's such a nice person, you know.
Probably just the pressure of carrying too much responsibility.
It could be. He was working for the university before he packed that in. Keatstone. No, this would be my last election. I won't have to go around canvassing anymore. Got fed up with it. You get all sorts when you go around canvassing. They all want to, well, we only see you when there's election time, you know. All say yes, we'll vote for you, but election they vote for somebody else, isn't it? In fact, last time I was returned unopposed, no election. I've been to Buckingham Palace Garden Party as a councillor. They even serve ice cream. It was so hot that day, you know.
I actually can't imagine you retiring. I can't imagine what you'd do with yourself if you weren't doing something.
Well,
working at that sort of high level. More time spent as a cricket umpire, maybe.
No, well, would mind. I had knee replacement, so the iron days are finished now. No, it takes me, well, I have to do everything for myself, really, you know, so I'm kept occupied.
Well, you've been very occupied this afternoon speaking to me and to the Sound Archive for the Imperial War Museum, so I have to say on behalf of me and the museum,
yes.
Thank you very much. It's been absolutely fascinating. It really has. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.